What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. We're hanging out here at La Frontera 7-Eleven. All right, brand new 7-Eleven. You can come out here and join us. 2801 La Frontera is the address. I'm looking at the 45 tollway. So we're right there at that intersection. Come out here and join us. Had a lot of folks stop by. Really appreciate the love. Even on the north side, we get a lot of love, so we appreciate it, man. Big fans of the station overall and fans of the Rodcast, so we appreciate everybody coming by. You'll see the Horn van parked out front. Can't miss it, but it is the 7-Eleven, brand new right here on the corner of 45 and La Frontera. If you download the 7 Rewards app right now, I don't know how they're pulling this off, but they are going to give you dollar sandwiches for the rest of the week. I know it sounds too good to be true. Bistro, sub, deli sandwiches. The breakfast sandwiches are not included in the deal, but all you got to do is download the 7 Rewards app, which is pretty easy to do, and it's free. And then you can take advantage of the dollar sandwiches. So I got the 7 Rewards app on my phone, and I'll be taking advantage of the dollar sandwiches. All right, we've been all over the place. We've hit a lot of different topics. We'll get back to some of them. We talked a little bit about the Mike Trout mega deal. Alex Bregman also getting paid 5 years, $100 million extension for Alex Bregman. We talked about Texas basketball and their big win over the South Dakota State Jackrabbits, 79-73. They are now awaiting the winner of the Xavier-Toledo game in the second round of the NIT. Dylan Osikowski with a big game, 26 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals for the senior. Showed up big. Shaka Smart said that he was basically in the attack mode. And that's the Dylan Osikowski I think most Longhorn fans would have liked to have seen all year long. But he had a great game. Longhorns now 17-16. It looked like they were going to blow out South Dakota State for a while. And then, you know, late in the second half, a lot of the issues that have really afflicted this basketball team, you know, all year long, started to show their face. They were really hot from three-point range early, which is uncharacteristic of this team anyway. We know they don't really care. They still like to take a lot of threes, even though they're not good at hitting threes. They still took a lot of threes, but early on, they were hitting their threes. They were hot. That's why they ended up with a 19-0 lead early on to start that game. They faded a little bit, but they were able to close. And we said the big problem with Texas basketball was they didn't close. They never close. In the tight games, you know, they don't really find a way to win those tight games down the stretch. Usually they collapse. The late game collapses. Them not being able to score late in games. That wasn't the case here. There was a window for collapse right there toward the end when South Dakota State got close and they were able to close the lead, or close the gap a little bit. But the Longhorns were able to, you know, maintain their composure. And they end up with the win, 79-73. So we'll talk more about their second round matchup when we find out the winner of the Xavier Toledo game. And of course, that will be a home game for the Longhorns. The announced attendance was around 1,700. Most people says it was probably closer to 1,300 to 1,200, maybe even a little lower than that. Maybe with the Longhorns having a big win, we'll see a bigger crowd for the Longhorns, supporting the Longhorn basketball team for game two, round two of the NIT. All right, let's talk about, and we also talked about the Brew McCoy hardship waiver. I'm not sure if he's applied for the hardship waiver just yet. There was some reports that he was waiting until the Tate Martell decision to apply for the hardship waiver. Either way, Tate Martell being granted his hardship waiver by the NCAA is a good sign for Brew McCoy being approved down the line. So Longhorn fans were really excited about that. They have good reason to be. And I think the hardship waiver now going forward, I think they'll continue the 79% approval rate of the hardship waivers. There's no reason for the NCAA to stop it. And people don't like it. They consider it modern free agency in college football. And maybe that's the case, but there's no doubt the young men, the student athletes deserve more rights. They deserve more opportunity, more flexibility, more perks, more options, whatever you want to say. And this is another way for the NCAA to offer them restitution, if you will, reparations for the exploitation. And like I said, I'm not on board with paying the players. Never was on board with, hey, we can straight up pay the players a salary. I don't think that's going to happen. That's, to me, it's really unrealistic, and I think the entire model may collapse as a result. But because of that, I think they should try to give them as many perks and as many, options and as many, liberties as possible. And the unlimited snacks is a part of that. Them retroactively going back and paying compensation for using players' likeness on the college football game. That was part of that. The enhanced scholarships, all of that's part of, the restitution. And I think this is part of it, too, the NCAA. And usually the NCAA only does the right thing when they are compelled and shamed into it. So, the hardship waiver conversation, the fact these young men are all getting lawyers to interpret the rule in a way that is advantageous to them. I think the NCAA wants to stay away from that conversation because the conversations are all moral dilemmas. Brew McCoy is going to argue, well, Cliff Kingsbury lied to us when he was recruiting us. USC lied to us. And then you'll get into the conversation, a much deeper one about, well, Manny Diaz was only at his job for 18 days and he was recruiting while he was there at Temple, and now he's at Miami. So what was he telling all the parents in the 18 days while he was at Temple and while he was recruiting there? And same thing with, Cliff Kingsbury at USC the month that he was there. That's about honesty and about lying and being dishonest in recruiting, lying to players and lying to parents. I don't think the NCAA wants to get into that type of ethical paradox. They want to stay away from that playing field, if you will. They don't want to go there. And all of these, even the Justin Fields hardship waiver, if someone used the N-word against them and used a racial slur and the racial tension on campus, the NCAA doesn't want to get into that discussion about racial sensitivity in this kind of climate, in this, in this current, climate that we live in and in college football with student athletes being exploited. They don't want to have any type of conversation on, that subject matter and even on that moral high ground. They don't want to have to go there. And the same thing is happening, I think, with the Tate Martell situation, because I guarantee you Urban Meyer was listed in his, in his lawyer's reasoning as to why Tate Martell wanted to leave. Urban Meyer is suspended because he neglected to hold one of his coaches accountable for domestic abuse. And then he ends up leaving. Some people say as a result of a scandal. Some people say he was going to retire anyway. And the NCAA doesn't want to have that discussion about Urban Meyer and the moral turpitude of that situation. They don't want to get into that. And so I think Brew McCoy is going to be okay, too, because the NCAA wants to avoid any touchy subjects like that. Persona non grata. All right, let's talk about the Cowboys. Big move by the Cowboys, signing Randall Cobb. I think it's almost a perfect fit for what the Cowboys want to do. And for so many reasons. And I pointed this out earlier today. The Cowboys have built their entire team from the draft, and they're proud of it. Stephen Jones recently said that, well, he recently mocked the NFL free agency period, basically. And, you know, essentially said that the free agents are overpriced, that the free agent market is one that's overpriced, and the Cowboys don't really need to overinvest in free agency because the Cowboys have done really good in the draft. They've built up all of their positions in the draft. He said, quote, "The biggest thing is just that free agency, I just don't think you can make a living there." He said, "That's what we've always said. I think you're overpaying in free agency. Most of the time, free agents are overvalued because you're competing in a market where you've got teams that don't have as many players they have to spend on and have to use salary cap space on." And he actually is right. We've talked about that on the show. So the Cowboys have become bargain shoppers. They're bargain bin shoppers, man. They want to get to the clearance racks. They are not trying to spend. That's why they don't even like to shop in the first week of free agency anymore. No, they wanted Earl Thomas. He was the guy they kind of had their eye on. They wanted to come to some type of compromise on the number. It didn't happen. So the Cowboys waited until all of the top dollar items were off the shelf or off the board in free agency, and then they start to go in for the bargains. And that's where Randall Cobb comes in. Randall Cobb is a man. That is a hell of a bargain for the Cowboys. Because if he's healthy, then it's an upgrade from Cole Beasley. If he's healthy. And that's a big if. If, buts, candies, nuts, that kind of thing. But it is a really good fit. You know what I mean? And the Cowboys, the only position the Cowboys haven't built through the draft is wide receiver. Right? Offensive line, built up through the draft. Quarterback, running back, defensive line, linebacker, they've built through the draft. Secondary, built up through the draft. The wide receiver position is the only position where they've relied on, you know, other means of acquisitions to get players, right? They traded for Amari Cooper. Allen Hurns is a free agent they brought in. Tavon Austin they brought in. From outside means, and same thing with now with Randall Cobb. And part of that is, going back to the draft, it's because the Cowboys have neglected the wide receiver position for a few years. And I always say, if you're a healthy organization, you should be drafting wide receivers pretty much every year. You ain't got to draft them high. Just draft them fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, depending on how much you like that specific wide receiver. The Cowboys didn't draft a wide receiver at all in 2000, 2001, 2005, 07, 08. You know, they didn't draft a wide receiver at all. I want to say 2015 and 16, they didn't draft a wide receiver at all. They have a history of just neglecting the wide receiver period through the draft, and I think it catches up to them in cycles. All right, and it happened a couple of years ago when they had like $14, you know, million dollars in dead money. They were spending, I think they had $28.2 million they devoted to their wide receiving core, which was like second most in the NFL, and they didn't really get the production out of it. Then they had to start over the Dak-friendly offense. They get rid of Dez. And now, within 2 years, through some really effective moves, that wide receiving core looks pretty formidable. It looks like it's explosive. You got Tavon Austin. You got Randall Cobb to be your slot wide receivers. You got Amari Cooper, who's your number one wide receiver. He's your ace. And then you got Allen Hurns providing some depth. You know, that wide receiving core right now, you know, it's one of the better ones in the NFL. You look at what Randall Cobb can do and the way that he can help the Cowboys. He's not the same wide receiver he was in 2014 when he made the Pro Bowl. Of course not. He's 29 years old, I believe. But just last year, first game of the season versus the Bears, a really good defense, he had 142 receiving yards, 9 receptions, a career high in single-game receiving yards for him, by the way. So he's not done. He just missed, I think, 7 games because he had hamstring injuries. He had a concussion that he dealt with last year. In 2017, Aaron Rodgers was hurt. So that's the reason his production fell off in the last 2 years, and that's why the Cowboys, they're the beneficiaries. They get to get him at a value because his age, his stats the last couple of years, and his injuries have driven his value down. Where they get him at 1 year rental, $5 million. But if you can keep him healthy, man, he can provide you a more explosive threat in your slot. Okay, this is where he's going to play a big role. Warren Sharp, worth the follow via Twitter, at Sharp Football. Last 3 years, the red zone is where the Cowboys need the most help. I mean, their red zone, the red zone offense for the Cowboys has been really, really bad. I mean, it's one of the it was one of the worst in the NFL. And if you look at what Randall Cobb has been really effective at the last couple of years, say the last 3 years, he has 13 touchdowns the last 3 years, 7 on 27 red zone attempts. He has 6 touchdowns on 232 non-red zone attempts. And Cole Beasley, remember that freakish year Cole Beasley had a couple of years ago where he had nine touchdowns on 15 red zone attempts. I mean, he was the best red zone weapon the Cowboys had. Now, that was with Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant was there. So with Dez, Cole Beasley had 9 touchdowns on 15 red zone attempts. Without Dez, when Dez was removed from the mix, Cole Beasley was less effective. He had 3 touchdowns, 2 on 10 red zone attempts, 1 on 76 non-red zone attempts. He was less effective in the red zone. He was much more effective when he had an ace like Dez who could demand the double team, and he was getting the third, fourth best cover man on the team working out of the slot. That can be replicated now with Amari Cooper, but now with a Randall Cobb in the slot, who over the last 3 years has been more effective. Now, he did have Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball, but more effective in the red zone than Cole Beasley has. And Cole Beasley, there was no way he was going to replicate, you know, that red zone success that he had a few years ago. That was going to be really, really tough. But I think that's what the Cowboys are looking for when they bring in a guy like Randall Cobb. And Randall Cobb is really good at settling in soft spots in the zone. That's why Aaron Rodgers loved him. Aaron Rodgers loved him because he has really good football IQ, plays more than one position. And I said this earlier, Brian Harsin, who, you know, used to be the offensive coordinator here at Texas, now the head coach at Boise State, you know, he's been a big influence on Kellen Moore, who's going to be the new play caller. And Brian Harsin loves what they call funk, which is pre-snap motions and shifts, that jet sweep that the Rams run a ton of. They run it more than any team in the NFL. Brian Harsin loved jet sweeps. And Kellen Moore is going to love the jet sweep, too. That's why it's important when he gets guys like Tavon Austin and guys like Randall Cobb, who are basically guys with multiplicity, who can play a little running back. You can hand off that jet sweep. And they can be, once the ball's in their hands, they can be really, really effective, whether it's the physicality of Randall Cobb or whether it is, you know, the speed of Tavon Austin. So I do think there is some strategy at work here about trying to link this personnel to what Kellen Moore wants to do with this new offense for the Cowboys. So that's why, and I love it. These guys, why I love Tavon Austin coming out, and he obviously has not met expectations. And I loved Randall Cobb coming out of college, coming out of Kentucky. And, you know, they were only one of the few guys in college who had at least 30 rushes and 40 receptions in the season. That is a rare statistical criteria. The last time Texas had a player that had that type of versatility, that kind of stat line, was Chris Obanaya in 2008. Before him, it was Eric Metcalf in 1988. It's just a rare skill set. Randall Cobb and Tavon Austin both meet that criteria. They're both those really versatile, multiple athletes. So for the Cowboys, who are bargain shoppers, getting Tavon Austin on the cheap and Randall Cobb on the cheap and potentially money-balling the slot position now, but also being able to upgrade it through, you know, combining those two guys and them being more explosive threats, I got to say that's a win. The Cowboys' philosophy of, you know, waiting on free agency and being fiscally responsible, it's what the Patriots do. It's what every team that has long sustained success, it's what they do. Here's a great stat about free agency, all right? And for Cowboys fans who are frustrated the Cowboys weren't more proactive and, you know, they weren't more active early on. 5 of the 6 lowest spending teams in free agency last year made the playoffs. And two of the three lightest spending teams from last year's free agency played in the Super Bowl. 10 of the 12 playoff teams from last year are in the bottom 14 spenders from last year's free agency. And two of the four in that cluster that didn't make the playoffs, Atlanta and Carolina, who have been to Super Bowls in the last 4 years or so. So yes, I'm not knocking, you know, free agency, you know, but the teams who are really, really good, they're not huge spenders in it. There are exceptions to the rule, of course. There are aberrations. I think the Ravens are one of those who spent big not too long ago, and teams, you know, they want to go all in. But for the most part, the Cowboys, this is the right way to do it. Be a bargain shopper. My woman's a bargain shopper. That's what the Cowboys are right now. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about the Cowboys making subtle signs. If they can bring in, man, if they can bring in Robert Quinn, because that's what they're looking at too, as a trade, not in free agency, a trade with the Dolphins. So we'll see what they got to give up for him. If they could potentially bring him in too on defense upgrade, that would also be big. And then Eric Berry, see if they can get him on the cheap too. Man, it could be a big upgrade for pennies on the dollar for the Cowboys. And you can't deny, if you can get those three guys from a group that thought, you know, Earl Thomas was the only way the Cowboys were going to be able to upgrade in the offseason, get better, and get close to a Super Bowl, there's no denying that, you know, the moves that they made. If they can get Eric Berry, if they can get the Robert Quinn deal done, Cowboys got better in the offseason. And that's not even where they prefer to make their biggest improvements. They prefer to make their biggest impacts in talent acquisition in the draft, but the free agency would have been a success for them. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about that. We'll also get into – oh, I want to get into some AAF. I want to talk a little Johnny Football. He's now a member of the AAF. He's going to have his first game coming up this weekend. We'll get into that. We'll also talk some NBA news, notes, and nuggets, all that more right here on the broadcast. This is the Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the broadcast. I got to give a shout out. My man Nick came through. Nick the mailman. Boom. Love it. One of the few jobs I actually applied for when I got done in the NFL. Mailman and fireman.
Mailman's great.
I thought, yeah, people were like, it's brutal. It's like a hard on you because it's hot and you got to walk and maybe. And I was like,
earn that pension too, boy.
I was like, yeah, I'm cool with that. I heard they had great benefits. That's why I wanted to do it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to think about the benefits. I got a little cash saved up. I just need good benefits and something to, you know, so I won't be spending
that government
the money
pension
that I saved. Yeah. So I thought about, you know, Rod B being your local postman or the fireman. Fireman thing was deep.
You look good in baby blue. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, no. I was all about it, but it was not to be. And now that's why I'm on the radio talking to you folks. All right, so you can always come out here. La Frontera Boulevard and the 45 Tollway is basically the intersection that we're at here at 7-Eleven. Brand new 7-Eleven. It's brand spanking new. 2801 La Frontera is the actual address. They have a great special going on from basically to the 22nd. If you download the 7Rewards app, you're going to get $1 fresh sandwiches at any 7-Eleven. It's crazy. Like, I don't understand how that's happening, but it's true. So download the 7Rewards app, and you'll get $1 sandwiches, the bistro, sub, deli sandwiches. Everybody who's come through, I'm like, hey, you got to say, did you download the app? It's free to download, and boom, gives you the hookup for the $1 sandwiches. So there you go. All right. I want to finish up our Randall Cobb conversation, because I think the Cowboys are knocking it out of the park in free agency. I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I know what they're trying to do. I can see the methodology, and it makes sense. Find value wherever you can in a salary cap league, a fixed income. All right, it's like everybody knows about operating on a fixed income. Most people listening to this show know about that. All right, and when you go grocery shopping on a fixed income, you know, you got to take care of the necessities first. And for the Cowboys, they think their necessities are the guys they drafted. The DeMarcus Lawrence, Zeke coming up, Dak coming up, all those guys who are homegrown talent with them. So they, in free agency, they're not going to overspend because those are considered for the Cowboys luxury items. They're not. They take care of necessities in the draft. And although the slot position, I think it is of vital importance to the offense, the Cowboys have decided to moneyball it. And, you know, what they're doing is all the guys they're bringing in have either an injury history or they're aging. And both of those factors drive the value down of a player. To be old and to be injured, price goes down. So the Cowboys are now getting the deal of a, deal of a lifetime with some of these players. If they get Eric Berry, that'll be the case with him. Same thing with Randall Cobb. Same thing with Christian Covington. Same thing with Kerry Hyder, who they signed. All these guys. Now they got to make sure that their strength and conditioning program is really good. That their training staff is really, really good, and it is. Look at Jalen Smith, who is one of the best miracle stories in the NFL from his comeback to become one of the best young linebackers in the league. So they got to make sure that all those things are in place. I think they believe that they can reinvigorate these guys and they can maximize these players. But like I said, Randall Cobb in the red zone, that's the biggest, I think the biggest impact that he is going to make. And the Cowboys for, you know, last year, that was their biggest issue on, you know, on offense, was that they couldn't figure out a way to get the ball into the end zone when they were in the red zone. They couldn't figure out a way to punch in. Even though they had Zeke, even though they had, you know, weapons, and even when they got Amari, there were times where they struggled down there. And they were much better once they had Amari. I mean, honestly, they were a much better offense altogether once they had Amari Cooper. But that's what they struggled with. And Randall Cobb, I think, is going to help them. They're going to use more RPOs that are going to help them, I think, in the red zone. But I think a lot of it is going to be them, you know, you having more weapons, having been able to take more guys out of the box for Zeke, and them being able to threaten defenses in multiple ways. That's what Randall Cobb's going to do for you. So good move by the Cowboys. We'll follow and see if they make any other under-the-radar signings. But all of them have been good upgrades for the Cowboys. All right, Texans actually brought in A.J. McCarron earlier this week, and then they signed A.J. McCarron yesterday as their backup quarterback. So upgrade the backup quarterback position, which is something I've said for years. I don't know why NFL teams put so much value on the quarterback position and only the starting quarterback position. And then when that starter gets hurt, then usually they're SOL. They should not only put a lot of value in the starting quarterback, but the quarterback position overall, not just the starter. And you're seeing more and more teams, smart teams, who have decided to invest in the backup quarterback position. Hell, the Rams just did it. The Rams just signed Blake Bortles to a two-year deal. Now, I know his value is down, but they wanted to upgrade the backup quarterback position. The Eagles, when they had Foles, they wanted to make sure they invested in the quarterback position. They said, no, we want two starters on our team. That's the way they put it. The Colts did it out of necessity. When Andrew Luck was hurt, they end up getting Jacoby Brissett, who's upgraded their quarterback position. The Titans just did it, too, when they upgraded to Ryan Tannehill as their backup. And New Orleans has, you know, Teddy Bridgewater. I think, you know, Washington with Colts. Kansas City as a team that makes sure they invest in the backup quarterback position. I think the smart teams do it. The Cowboys, it may not be a priority for them, but, hell, think about it. Dak Prescott's a third-string quarterback. Not now. He's not anymore, but that's where he started. Right? Kellen Moore gets hurt. Romo gets hurt. Oh, boom. Then we're at Dak Prescott. So you would think they would be investing in it just out of recent history, the lessons they've been taught. So I think the Texans made a good move. It's an upgrade over Brandon Wheaton, who I think was their backup to the. And the Texans, I said the Cowboys have been winning in free agency, getting bargain deals. The Texans have failed free agency. They really have. They failed it miserably. Or at least they are right now. They still got some time. But they didn't really make any upgrades. They didn't make any significant moves on the offensive line. That's what they needed to address. They re-signed Chantrell Henderson, who was hurt most of the year, but that was a one-year deal, so he's a mercenary for him. But they haven't gone after any offensive linemen. I hear they are zeroing in on Raiders, former Raiders left tackle Donald Penn. If that is the case, that would right all the wrongs for this Texans team in free agency. But I don't know if that's the case. If they just sign a veteran tackle and draft another veteran tackle, another offensive lineman, I think they would be okay based on the development of the guys they brought in last year. Zach Fulton, Calamente, Martinez Rankin, Julian Davenport. They can't be worse than they were last year. I say that. I hope they can't be worse than they were last year. Because, you know, Deshaun Watson was the most hit quarterback in the NFL, most sack quarterback in the NFL. So they need a veteran tackle out of this free agent class, and maybe they're waiting to try to get a bargain, and they need to draft an offensive lineman with a high upside early on, probably in the first round. I hear they really like that K-State offensive lineman, Dalton Risner. But here's something else I saw. Speaking of backup quarterbacks, because Kyler Murray met with Cliff Kingsbury yesterday at OU. A lot of people are speculating about this being more evidence of the Arizona Cardinals drafting Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick. So that means they're going to trade Josh Rosen. So now the reports are coming out that the Cardinals might be interested in trading Josh Rosen either before the draft or on draft day when they make that move. And obviously it'll probably be on draft day because they don't want to tip their hand. Josh Rosen's contract is still a rookie deal. It's got 3 years left on it. Peter King reports that they're asking for maybe a third-round pick for him. Keep in mind, the Arizona Cardinals moved up last year to draft Josh Rosen. They swapped first-round picks and traded a third and a fifth-round pick just to move up to draft Josh Rosen. And now they're going to deal Josh Rosen. So I wonder, you know, what the cost is going to be. Peter King says it's going to be a third-round pick. I mean, that's just crazy to me, a third-round pick. There are other outlets are reporting that it could be higher as high as a second-round pick. I'm throwing this out there. Keep in mind, the Patriots have six selections in the top 100 picks. They need an heir apparent to Tom Brady. Nobody is better at finding a bargain than the New England Patriots, and they got the 32nd pick, the 56th pick, the 64th pick, the 73rd pick, and three third-round compensatory picks. If all it takes is a third-round pick to get Josh Rosen, I wouldn't doubt that the Patriots and Bill Belichick decide, oh, yeah, we're going to have our developmental quarterback of the future who's got a first-round ceiling, and he'll be the guy that's the heir apparent to Tom Brady, who's willing to wait behind Tom Brady, and they'll get him on the cheap. That sounds like a very Patriots thing to do if, in fact, they're going to deal Josh Rosen and they're that infatuated with Kyler Murray, and all the reports say they are. And you know what? If I was a Patriots, I would trade for Josh Rosen and have just keep him for a few years and flip him. Flip him like a house. The Patriots do that all the time. Remember, Jimmy Garoppolo drafted him, traded him for a second-round pick. They traded Jacoby Brissett for, I think, Philip Dorsett. That was a player trade. They traded Ryan Mallett for a sixth-round pick. They traded Matt Castle for a second-round pick and traded away Mike Vrabel in the process. So they've flipped quarterbacks before, and they love second-round picks anyway. They prefer them over first-round picks because the entire contract isn't guaranteed. Only a portion of the contract for second-round picks is guaranteed. Watch the Patriots in this whole Kyler Murray Josh Rosen, Arizona Cardinals drama. Just watch them sitting on the back, and they usually, one man's trash is another man's treasure, especially for Bill Belichick. All right, we'll come back. We come back, we'll get into a little crosstalk. We'll also wrap up the show live here from La Frontera, 2801 La Frontera, right here at the brand spanking new 7-Eleven. It's the grand opening of the 7-Eleven. Still got the new 7-Eleven smell right here at the intersection of the 45 Tollway and La Frontera. You can also download the 7 Rewards app right now, the 7-Eleven Rewards app, and they're going to hook you up. You're going to get dollar sandwiches for the rest of the week. If you just download the app and then go to your 7-Eleven and show them you downloaded the app, they're going to hook you up with dollar sandwiches. You can't beat that deal. Free 99 is the only price that's better. We'll come right back, wrap it up, put it in the oven. This is the Ride Cash right here on the Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260.
All
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. We're live here at 7-Eleven. Got a lot of folks showing us love. My man Chris out here, we're name dropping. I appreciate everybody coming out, showing us a lot of love. My man Joe, give him props too out here, twisting, tweaking the dials. Time for a little crosstalk. My man KD, he's there doing a little crosstalk. What's going on, Kevin? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you, Rod?
I'm doing real good, man. I'm at 7-Eleven, my home away from home. So I'm doing good. And also, I got the 7-Eleven Rewards app, and I get dollar sandwiches, all right, here at 7-Eleven with the 7 Rewards app. So I'm doing damn good. I love balling on the budget.
We need to nickname you either Duncan or Slurpee, because nothing else can bring that many people out to 7-Eleven at one time. And I'm a 7-Eleven guy. I mean, I've been single a lot of my life, so sometimes you just got to go grab some stuff there, you know?
No, 7-Eleven, a friend of the Bachelor.
Very much so.
Yes, friend of the Bachelor. Okay, I got to ask you, what'd you think of the Longhorn basketball team in the NIT? What were your thoughts? Did you even watch it?
Yeah, I did. I did, because when I got home, remember the baseball game had been on. The baseball game was pretty much over with. It was 8-0. So yeah. I cooked dinner and watched it. Surprisingly, I mean, none of us expected there to be a lot of people there, but it was even less than I thought. And I was happy and proud they came out and played that way. Now, obviously, that game got close, and maybe it was a microcosm of kind of what Texas did all year, start real strong and then fade away. But they were able to finish this thing off. And I think a lot of us, with 1 minute to go, when this was a tight game, I'm not sure we would have taken that bet.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. They have a problem closing, at least they had a problem closing all year long. And they were able to close out that game. And even though it was in the NIT, they closed it out. What's your guess over-under on the amount of fans that were there? They said the official attendance was right over 1,700 fans. You saw some of the snapshots. Ooh, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it wasn't that. I just kept on having one of my top five comedians of all time is the late, great Bill Hicks, and he had a great classic line. He came out one time. He was doing like some gig in Arkansas, and there was just no one there, and he goes, "Oh, my God," he said, "I've had more people in bed before." And that just kept on ringing in my head. So, I don't know, a couple hundred?
No, I'm with you. Yeah, it did seem like that. I mean, I heard a lot of echoes. Hopefully, they'll get a better attendance for the second game they're hosting. They're coming off a win.
Rod, they earned more, but tell me, that is there any way you played? When was the last time you played in front of a crowd like that? What, seventh grade?
Yeah, you're right. High school football games draw a way bigger crowd than that.
You played in front of that.
No doubt. Chad, Kevin, coming up next. Thank you, Kevin, for everything. We appreciate it. Thank Wags for everything he does. I want to thank my man Joe. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We're talking about it right here on the Rodcast. I want to thank my friends from 7-Eleven here at La Frontera, brand spanking new. Everybody have a great night. Be kind to one another. Peace.